Good afternoon. Let me ask you to secure a Bible. You're going to need one. And turn to the book of James chapter 1. You will need a Bible. James is going to be the home base. So you, everywhere else we go, you keep your finger in James 1. Beginning with verse 13. Listen carefully, listen reverently, please, to the reading of God's Word. James chapter 1, verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Verse 16. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Last Sunday night, we began the textual study of the book of James. And in verses 2 through verse 12, we talked about the certainty of trials in the life of the Christian. We talked about trials in the aspect of those outward trials that come into our lives. Such things as sickness and sorrow and pain and disappointment and heartbreak. These outward trials that come into our lives in order to test our faith. Now, tonight, we're going to talk about the second type of temptation, or the second type of trial that James discusses in James chapter 1. Tonight, we're going to talk about the inward temptation. These are the things that come to us, that actually come from us, that induce us to sin. So in James 1, he talks about two types of temptations, two types of trials. One of them, last week, verses 2 through 12, the point of them, the purpose of them, was to prove the genuineness of our faith and to mature our faith. But in this section of Scripture, verses 13 through 17, now we're talking about these inward temptations, these inducements to sin. Now, as James talks about this, James says four things about temptation. Four things that you and I need to get clear. The first one being this. James starts by talking about the reality of temptation in the life of every Christian. Now let me say that again. James begins, number one, by talking about the reality of temptation in the life of every Christian. Now look carefully at verse 13. When tempted. When tempted. Do you see that, yes or no? Notice the word is not if tempted, but the word is what? When tempted. Because it's not if you're gonna be tempted, it's when you're going to be tempted. You see, temptation
inducement into sin is a reality in the life of every Christian. Temptation isn't a matter of if, it's just a matter of when, but it is coming. Now, I want you to hold James 1, always hold James. I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You know this verse, but there's a word that I want you to see. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to look at verse 12 and verse 13, and you know both of them. In 1 Corinthians 10 and in verse 12, Paul says, "Therefore, to him who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall." Now, watch carefully the very next verse. "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear." Now, here it is, but what's the next word? "But when you are tempted." Do you see the word? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 exactly what James says in James 1. Temptation is not if. Paul does not say if you are tempted, God will help you get out. Paul says when you are tempted. So the Apostle Paul and James, the brother of our Lord, sets out the reality of temptation in the life of every Christian. Now let me say this to you. The reality of temptation is best illustrated by the life of Jesus. For as Jesus was baptized, immediately after his baptism, he was tempted by the devil himself. Now, we're holding James. Go to Mark chapter 1. Go to Mark chapter 1. The reality of temptation in your life is best illustrated by looking at it in the life of Jesus. Immediately after he was baptized, the devil attacked. Look at Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. Mark 1, verse 9. "At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up from the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.'" Look at verse 12. "At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert." At once this happened. Right after his baptism. Immediately after his baptism. At once when he got out of the water. "And he was in the desert 40 days being tempted by Satan." Now, what am I establishing here? Let's go back to James 1. What I am establishing here is what James is establishing as he begins to talk about temptation as it relates to seducing us into sin. James says, listen. You've got to understand right out of the box that temptation is a challenge that is common to all of us. So we understand, number one, temptation is a reality in the life of every Christian. It is a common challenge for all of us. Number two, in James 1. After setting down the reality of temptation in the life of every Christian, secondly, James then talks about the source of all temptation. The source of all temptation. Now listen to me. The source of your temptation, the source of my temptation, and the source of all temptation resides within each of us. That's the source of it. It resides within each of us. Now look carefully at verse 14, the next verse, verse 14. But each one is tempted when? Now, when is each person or every person tempted? What's the source of it? But each one is tempted when? By his own evil desire. You see it? If you're from the King James and maybe a couple other translations, it says lust. The word lust means evil desire, and the NIV just translates it evil desire. So now we're talking about the same thing. Lust is evil desire. The source of temptation resides within each of us. You say, okay, what's the problem? Here's the problem. The problem is that man has the tendency to blame everybody else but the one who's guilty. That's the problem. Listen to me. The blame for your sin is not on God. James says two things about God. He says, number one, you cannot tempt God to do evil. He don't know anything about any of that. And secondly, God will never tempt you to do evil. So the blame for your sin is not on God. The blame for your sin is on you, because the source of it resides within you. Now listen to it. Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 18 and 19, Jesus says that from your heart, evil thoughts come. From the heart comes evil thoughts. Jesus said from the heart comes murder. Jesus says from the heart comes immorality. Jesus says from the heart comes slander. Jesus says from the heart comes all these things. Now look, this is why Jesus taught his disciples. Jesus says, now when you pray, this is what you ought to say in prayer. Matthew 6:13, Jesus says you should say, and Father, help us to overcome. Lead us not into temptation, but help us to overcome the evil one. Every day in your life, you should ask God, God, help me to overcome temptation. And God, don't lead me toward the evil one, or the evil one toward me. We're still together? We're talking about temptation. The inducement to get us to sin. James says, number one, understand the reality of it. This is a common challenge, and everybody is in the same boat with this. We all got to deal with this. He then says, secondly, that the source of all of this temptation resides within each one of us. Number three. James then talks about the progressive nature of temptation and sin. Now, brethren, listen to me. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is not an overstatement. If you will understand what I'm going to say in the next 5 minutes, your understanding of the next 5 minutes of what's going to come out of your preacher's mouth could save your soul. The progressive nature of temptation and sin. Here is where the rubber meets the road. If we are going to overcome temptation, if we are going to overcome sin, then you and I must have an understanding of the process of how temptation and sin works in our lives. James says, here's the reality of it. You're going to deal with this. Or you're not going to deal with it, and it'll deal with you. He says, here is the reality. The reality is that all of us got to deal with temptation. James then says, understand that it's not only real, but that the source of it is within your own heart. But then, thank God he does this, then he goes on to explain so that you and I can have an understanding of the process of how temptation works in our lives. And by understanding the process, we can cut the head of it off. And that'll kill it. So here's what James does. In verse 14 and 15, James gives us the four stages of temptation. Now here they are. Each one of us is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Step number one is the desire. The evil desire. That desire may be just a passing thought. Just a passing thought. But the desire is the appetite for sin. The appetite for sin. That's the start. The desire. Step number two. He says, verse 15, then after desire has been conceived, the second step is that my will yields to the desire. The desire comes. Instead of me killing it, I play with it. The second step is that my will yields to the desire. Third step, sin is born. Listen to me. Sin is the offspring of my will and my desire joining together. Sin is the child. Sin is the child of my will yielding to evil desire. The fourth step is that sin will bring death. Now, let me illustrate this. Give me your purse. Just hand me your purse. Give me this. Let me illustrate this. No, all right. Let me illustrate this. We walk into a, you walk into a store. You walk into a store, and on the end of a on the edge of the counter, nobody's around. Some lady, Lord have mercy, some man has left his purse. All right? Some woman has left her purse at the store. Okay, you got it? You come into the store and you see it. It's just a thought. It's just a thought. You know what? I could get that. That's step one. And it's just a thought. Now, instead of cutting the head off the desire, instead of walking away from it, you look at it and you say to yourself, you know what? I can get that. And then you just stand there. You say, you know what? Somebody left that there. Somebody forgot that. I could get that. Now, where am I at? I'm still in step one. It's a desire. It's a desire. But I'm toying with the thing. You know what? I could get that. There's nobody around here. Nobody's there. I could get that and walk right back out that door, and whatever's in there could be mine. Then I walk over, and I go like this. My will has now yielded to that evil desire. That's step two. My will has yielded to that desire. Now, I could still do that and walk away. But the desire is there. You know what? I could do that. I'd be gone with that. They could be $100 in there. Now, if I knew her, I knew they wouldn't be $100 in there. But they could be $100 in there. Because her old man is so cheap, he wouldn't. But anyway. Yeah, that's your girl, I know. There's the desire. So now I act. My will has yielded to the evil desire. Now what just happened? I gave birth to sin. Sin is the offspring. Sin is the result of my will giving in to that evil desire. And as sin is born, and now with sin will ultimately come what? It will ultimately come death. James, you got any money here? James talks about the reality. James talks about the reality of temptation. We all have to deal with it. He talks about the source. The source resides within me. How am I going to blame God for this? This is my heart. Then you have to understand the process by how temptation develops. It starts with just a thought, maybe just a passing thought. But then your will yields to that evil desire. You act upon it. Sin takes place. And before sin gets finished, death is going to happen. Now, watch what James says immediately after this. And this is what we need to understand. Look at verse 16. His very next statement is this. He says, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers." Do you see that? Why does he say that right after giving us the process about how sin works? He says, look, don't deceive yourself. The reason he says that is because in the process of sin, we deceive ourselves to think that I can do this kind of stuff. I can play with this and not get burned with it. You understand what I'm saying? In the process of sin coming, the reason we yield to it is because we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves. And that's why he says, look, don't deceive yourself in this. Understand it's going to happen. Understand the source of it is coming from within you, not some force outside of you. And realize this is the process. Because if you don't understand 1, 2, and 3, you've deceived yourself and you will be headlong in this. So we deceive ourselves. So you know what we do? Here's what we do. We deceive ourselves by saying, you know what? The evil associations I have in my life, they're not going to corrupt me. I can run around with these people that I know I shouldn't run around with. This isn't going to corrupt me. Look, you're deceiving yourself. 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communications corrupt good morals. If you run with the hogs, you're going to stink when night comes. But you know what we do? We deceive ourselves. Oh, these people ain't going to hurt me. These people ain't going to bother me. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Every one of us have told our kids, you get with the wrong crowd, it's going to mess you up. And every kid in the world who ever went wrong because he got with the wrong somebodies. And every old person did the same thing. Listen to me. I'm telling you. But we deceive ourselves. Oh, this ain't going to hurt me. You know, we deceive ourselves. We say, you know what? Controlling my tongue ain't really that important. Oh, that ain't important. What's that got to do with being a Christian? In James 1 and in verse 26, James says that if anybody among you seems to be religious, but if he cannot control his tongue, James says he has deceived himself and his religion is worthless. But see, we don't believe that. We don't believe that. Why? Because we're self-deceived. Listen, we deceive ourselves, and there's a ton of folk in the church exactly like that. We deceive ourselves into thinking that we can be righteous without doing the right thing. Church is filled with them people. Write it down. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. The righteous will do what's right. That's what makes them righteous. But you know what? We deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves. Oh, I can do this, and I can do that, and I can do this. And so you know what you have? You have people who are not faithful. You have Christians that do not pray. You have Christians that do not study their Bible. You have Christians that do not give. And then they tell everybody, I'm a Christian. No, you're not. You've deceived yourself. You've deceived yourself. You are self-deceived. That's what you are. So what are we talking about? We're talking about temptation. What kind of temptation are we talking about now? We're talking about the temptation that will induce us to commit sin, to walk away from God. Number one, James says you better understand the reality of it. The reality of it. Secondly, James says you better understand the source of it. Don't look outside yourself to point a finger. Your problem is the one who looks back at you in the mirror. The problem resides deep inside you. Then thirdly, James says, understand the progressive nature. This is how it works. If you kill it at the desire, it won't go any further. One more thing, number four. James then says that as Christians, we do not have to be victimized by temptation and sin. You don't have to be a casual on the battlefield with the devil. You don't have to do that. And in verse 17, he talks about, look, this is what God, every good thing and perfect thing, this is God's nature. God's nature is to give you what's good. God's nature is to help you. And then in the same verse, and he says, and that nature never changes. Look, you do not have to be victimized by what I'm talking about here tonight. Now, yes, temptation is real. Yes, you're going to have to battle with this thing. But listen, you can be successful with it. You can be successful with it. The rest of the verse that we didn't finish, back in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation is taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. What's God faithful to do? That with the temptation, God will provide for you a way of escape. In every temptation that comes your way, God will give you an emergency hatch that you crawl out of. Listen, you can be successful over temptation. Quit blaming everybody else for your mess up. This on you. Now, here's the question. Quickly, here's the question. How do we become successful in battling temptation? How? Number one, you have to remember how crafty the devil is. The devil is very subtle. And the devil is very, very pleased to let you just very, very, very slowly drift away from God. Because what the devil clearly understands, and what many of my brethren do not understand, is that getting away from God, sin, is a process. It's a process. David opened the book of Psalm in Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the man, watch the progression, who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, who stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of mockers. Do you see the progression? He's walking along. Now he stopped walking, and now he's standing there, and now they're engaging in big conversation. And then he ends up moving in with them. Now he's sitting there with them. He's fellowshipping with them. Sin is a progression. If you want to have the victory over temptation, realize how subtle the devil is. The devil is a liar. You want victory over temptation? Number two, remember the power of prayer. Again, Matthew 6:13. Jesus said, pray like this. Help me to overcome, help me to deal with temptation and to overcome the evil one. You need to pray every, Lord, keep me away from temptation. Keep me away from temptation. Remember the power of prayer. Number three, we're going quickly. Number three, if you want to have victory over temptation, remember the power of the word. In Matthew chapter 4, the devil led Jesus, and Satan tempted the devil for 40 days. The devil says, look, turn the stone into bread. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, it is written. Well, what did he do with them? When the devil tempted him, Jesus laid the word on him. The devil then took him to the pinnacle, the top of the temple, and said, you know what? Jump off, the angels will catch you. And what did Jesus say? Jesus says, it's written. And he put the word on him again. Satan took him up on a high mountain and said, you see all these kingdoms? These can all be yours. The devil's giving him something he don't own. How's he going to give it to him? What did Jesus say? It is written. 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 If the Son of God needed to understand, had to put the word of God on old smutty face to get him to turn back, you and I are going to have to do the same thing. You don't have to be victimized by this. Yes, it's real. And yeah, you need to understand the source of it is from within you. But then you need to understand how it works. And then you need to stand on prayer. You need to stand on the Word of God and say, I don't have to be victimized by this. I don't have to give in to this. How do you get victory over it? You understand how subtle and crafty the devil is. You understand the power of prayer. You understand the power of the Word. And finally, if you want the victory over temptation, you need to exercise your own will with it. The power of self-will. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22, Paul said to abstain from the very appearance of evil. You know what he's saying? Man up and back off from it. That's what he's saying. Just exercise the power of your own will. You know what? I'm in control of this. Now, this and I'm done. Temptation is real. And you're going to have to deal with it. But here's what you tell yourself. He who's in me is greater than he who is in the world. Stop blaming everybody else. Stop blaming everybody else. That's what's wrong now. Nobody responsible for nothing. Nobody, whole country's going to hell and ain't nobody responsible for it. Oh, you know what? It's your mother's fault. It ain't your mama's fault. She may should have backhanded you a few more times, but it ain't your mother's fault. It's your fault. Well, my friends, then get away from them. Get away from them. Stop blaming everybody else. This on you. This on you. But you can have the victory over this. And you can win this. He that's in you is greater than he who's in the world. If you're here this afternoon and if you're not a Christian, you can become a New Testament Christian through faith and repentance and baptism. If you're here tonight as a Christian, if you're dealing and struggling, listen, take what's been said here and put it into your life. Don't let the devil tell you, this is just church, it don't work out there. Listen, that's why we're here, because it'll work out there. If you're here, if you need to respond, you can come forward right now as together we stand and as we sing.